Welcome into the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. Great show today, folks. We're going to get into the not-so-scary world of ghosts today with my guest, Rebecca Carmichael. She's got a brand-new book out there. She's also known as the Ghost Guide. Brand-new book out there I got the privilege of reading called The Not-So-Scary Guide to Ghosts. It's available by Adams Media. And let me tell you a little bit about Rebecca before we get going. She's known as the Ghost Guide. She invites readers to explore the paranormal with curiosity, confidence, and a sense of play. She's blown up in the world of social media. She was huge. I shouldn't say she was huge. She is huge on TikTok. She has too many followers, more followers than I'll ever have on TikTok. But now she's brought that to the world of publishing and I'll tell you something about her book. Her book covers everything from the world of investigating to the world of the psychic, and really does walk you through quite a few things and a few things I've never really seen in other realms of the psychic, as far as grounding, shielding, and other things in the world of the psychic. I want to bring her in so we can just get to this conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, here she is, the Ghost Guide, Rebecca Carmichael. Rebecca, thank you so much for coming into this world of, I don't want to say the world of the darkness, the world of Darkness Radio. Thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And I am not afraid of the dark. I actually enjoy it very much. So I'm happy to be here.
Good, good, good. And it's short for Darkness on the Edge of Town. So there you go. It's not that scary. That's scary, that's for sure. One of the things I particularly enjoyed about your book is you do have a different take. And I applaud this take on the world of the psychic. A lot in the world of ghosts. It's not your typical TV take on ghosts. Explain to me, and you found your own way when it comes to the world of the spiritual. You didn't look at everything that's ever been on television and go, I'm going to go that way. Explain to me, first of all, why you didn't look at everything on television and go, I'm going to follow everything they've ever done on a ghost show.
Well, first, thank you for saying that, and thank you for acknowledging that. And TV was what I grew up with. I didn't know that I was psychic or medium or any of these words that I now associate with. I didn't think I had that. I didn't understand the language. I did not grow up in it. And so what I did grow up in was the media, right? Early Travel Channel shows, the sort of like scary things in the dark. You still see that nowadays. And it's very, I would say the bros going out, you know, and mm-hmm. I love that for them. I'm like the guys going out, they're having a good time. They're talking to ghosts, all that stuff. And they're screaming every single time they hear something. And I was like, well, I mean, that's exciting, but I don't really identify with that. Because at the time I was also growing up in a house with a lot of things that I couldn't explain that I was experiencing. So we have that realm of it. And then we have the sort of TLC, Teresa Caputo's psychic mediums. And I didn't identify with that either because, and granted, I haven't seen every episode, but what few episodes that she went into with ghosts, there, it was always to move them on. It was always like they were in the way, like yeah. They were a problem. They were negative, they were bad. And I didn't identify with that either because I was just like, I think some ghosts are just around. I don't know why I think that, but I think they're just around. So what if ghosts were not all scary? And what if all ghosts weren't all a problem to be solved? And what if I, as an individual living my life to the best of my ability, what if it wasn't my purpose to do something about it? What if I could merely just talk to them? What if I could learn something about history? What if I could learn something about human nature? What if I could learn? And that's how all this started. I wanted a different approach from what I was handed because I did not see myself represented.
That's a good way of putting it. I don't see myself represented. I think there's very few people, even in the TV landscape, where you can look and say, I see myself represented. I know of a few, and I won't name them or I won't call out others on television because I know quite a few people in the TV landscape. But I'm friends with a lot of them, but it's one of those things where I think you do have to do what you've done. And that is take your own path and figure out what works for you. And I think your book goes a long way towards telling people how to find your own path. Because it isn't like television when you find your own way psychically. It isn't like television when you find your own way when you're investigating. It is a lot of 4 hours in the dark searching for something, or more. You know, I don't think an investigation necessarily is 4 hours. I think you might agree with me on that too. You know, it's a lifetime thing of using your senses and not necessarily using a piece of equipment and really trying to be more alert and aware of the things around you before you necessarily look at a meter and figure out, you know, if you've got, you know, how much EMF is in the room, right?
Right. And I think too, and this is something I've learned in social media, we want the quick fix, right? We want the, this can apply to everybody. I absolutely can do this and it will work every time, that sort of thing. And the more I dive into spirituality and the more I dive into my own mental health and my own experiences, the more I want to celebrate everybody's individuality, which is why I wrote a book based on all these experiences that I've had, the sort of, hey, here are some ground rules. Here are some sorts of things that you can look at to apply and try. Though the beauty of the human experience is it will be different. Everybody will be different. And one of my passions when I talk to people one-on-one or in groups, I want to know what makes us different. I want to celebrate the differences. And to what I said before, I don't mean to, I hope it didn't sound like I was speaking negatively about any of the groups that I've seen.
Right.
I think it's beautiful from a psychic medium standpoint as well, that we do have different opinions. Mm-hmm. I don't have to agree with all of them.
Right.
And of course, with TV, we're seeing a very specific standpoint, mm-hmm. you know, laid out by producers. There's so many things that go behind that on how we see things. And so, of course, for their audience, that was going for one thing. For the ghost show and paranormal investigation audiences, that goes for something else. Though to what you said, what I appreciate about YouTube and other streaming services is that you really do get a chance to see the longer unedited paranormal investigations. You get to understand it's not all shiny and exciting every 5 minutes. It's really an act of patience. It's an act of silence. And it's going into somewhere and being like, all right, I may not get anything, but here's hoping I do. So let's just hang out together and see what happens. And I think that's a beautiful way to look at life as well.
And actually, some of the people who have come from TV and transitioned back to YouTube are showing you some of that, which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of fun. I like the fact that some of the more polished people that you've seen on television have now gone to YouTube and they're like, you know what? Now we're going to let it all hang out. You saw what we did
and
on television.
That.
Yeah. Now let's show you what it's really all about. And they're giving you kind of the dirty, unedited, and some of the behind the scenes stuff that I love to see, which is fun. Cause I've had the rare opportunity to investigate with them one-on-one and yeah, it's not all it's cracked up to be, right? And there is, there's the dirty, sloppy part of investigating, which is sometimes you just go home empty-handed, and that's the end of it, right? And the ghosts don't perform like puppets; they just don't. Which is interesting, you know. And there's some examples in your book of even incidents when you lived in a house with ghosts that don't necessarily want to play nice, or they don't necessarily like you, which is fun. You had an interesting housemate, we'll put it that way, by the name of Gertie, which I was kind of hoping to get one or two interesting experiences with Gertie from you today.
Gladly.
You know, it's funny. Because here in this house where I broadcast from, I do have a spirit here, and I believe it's the spirit of the man who lived in this house. And unfortunately, I do know a little bit about him. His wife actually sent him to a nursing home at the end of his life, but I believe he's come back here because he built this home. He loved this home, and he resides in this basement because he had a workshop right down the hall from here, where I broadcast from. And at first, I don't think he liked me being here. I really feel like this he felt like this was his area. This was his domain. And much like in your book, pointing out that you had to negotiate with Gertie, I had to negotiate with him and say, and he'll, on occasion when I'm broadcasting, he'll come in front of this camera that you and I are sitting in front of and make his appearance known, because he'll kind of peek in and go, you know, what are you doing? And at first I would turn on the television in the living room in the lower area here for him, and I'd put on different sports programming. And I found one thing interesting here, Rebecca. I would have to actually leave the lights on, and I still do leave the lights on down here for him. He does not like the dark, which is interesting. So I always...
Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah, I always leave a light on for him. So that...
I love that, though.
Yeah. So there's always a light on for him. And whenever I'm down here and I'm active down here, I'll turn on some sort of sports programming for him. So, yeah.
And that's beautiful. And that's exactly part of the approach that I'm trying to present to people, not only in my book, but certainly in my socials. So often it's just somebody who loves something, you know, it's like the house, especially when you mentioned him going to the nursing home. Okay, so he wanted some more time with this house. That doesn't necessarily mean, oh, it's negative, he's out to get you, anything like that. Though in understanding, and this is something I say often, understanding fights fear. You could have gone about that being like, oh, he's not supposed to be here. This is my house. He's gone. No, absolutely not. Instead, you took the route of curiosity. You looked at it and you said, okay, well, what are we looking at here? You know, like, okay, he likes being in that space. Perhaps I could compromise and be in this space at this time. He can be over there, leaving the light on for him, putting some TV shows on for him. Like, it can oftentimes be such small things that have such a huge result. And those small things are rooted in humanity. You treated him like a human. You said, hey, I acknowledge that you were here. I love your house too. What kind of middle ground can we come to better understand each other? And that's exactly what I talk about. That's exactly been my experience. Like with Gertie, as you mentioned, and I'll mention with Gertie, that's not her actual name. I've changed a variety of names in the book and also on my socials as well, just for their protection and their kind of space and that sort of thing. And with Gertie, she was the same way. She lived in that house, the house that I was living in. I called it the bus stop house because it was between three unmarked burial grounds. Wilmington, North Carolina, we've got them burial grounds, and they might or might not be marked. We're very similar to Savannah in that way. And she just had reins over the house. There was a spirit in almost every single room. And depending on which room you're in, the temperature could change. It could feel darker. There were different anomalies that would happen where lights that were like night lights would turn on in the middle of the daytime for no apparent reason. And then on top of the folks that were staying in the house, some of which who did pass away in the house, some of which who just found their way there, we have these passerbys. And every now and then I would look down the hallway and I'd be like, huh, I don't think they live here. And I'm just going to act like I don't really see them in the hopes that they just keep on walking. Because at the time, I did not understand shielding. I did not understand everybody's innate ability to protect themselves and put in boundaries for themselves, even in spirit. Mm-hmm. So there were a lot of times where something would happen and I didn't know what to do. I would act like it wasn't there. I think I did a lot of the things that a lot of us do where it's like, okay, well, if I just take the blanket and put it over my head, you know, like I can't see it. They can't see me, right? Like that's how that works. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful for Gertie. She really did not like muck in her house. Like she would get very particular on if I brought something in, which I tell in the book I did one time. And that was a bad situation.
Yeah.
And I appreciate how she came about things. There were some things that we were able to compromise on, such as me having my dog inside the house versus having to keep the dog outside, which is what she would prefer.
Right.
And really, I'd like to think that over time, we were not best friends. We did not have a close relationship. It was nothing like that where I was like, oh yeah, every night I, you know, hang out with Gertie. No, it was nothing like that. It was I have a high respect for this woman. She loves this home. I found her in historical records by her legal name. And I still have such a respect for her. In fact, and I don't mention this in the book, I ran across the next person to move into that house. Mm. And she, go figure, she followed me. She saw me when I was living in a bus at the time. She's like, you're Rebecca the Ghost Guide. And I'm like, yeah. And she says, oh, I moved into your old house. I said, oh. And she says, yeah, the older lady, she's still there. I said, okay. And she actually told me, she's like, yeah, she's kind of angry at me because I dug up her azaleas. And I said, yeah, I could see that.
Oh.
So, yeah, the new owner said that the azalea roots had gotten too deep and they were starting to mess with some of the foundation in the front of the house. All the same, I was like, I mean, I don't know. It's your house now. I do understand that. At the same time, I don't know if I would prefer the potential, you know, root work issues to the wrath of Gertie, because she's not an evil woman. She's not malicious or anything like that, but she can hold a grudge and she is set in her ways. And that is something I absolutely found out about her. So that woman still lives there. She's found peace. She does regular cleansings for any kind of the negative stuff that goes through. And mm-hmm. I think maybe that's how they found their compromise.
So how, okay, in your situation, let's say you have to deal with a root work issue with azaleas. How would you deal with that? How would you come to a compromise with Gertie about it?
Oh, goodness. I certainly would really want to check on the issues. And I'll point out my ignorance. I don't know enough about foundation and root issues from azaleas. They were very large azaleas. I mean, they've been growing there for some time and they were beautiful. They created like this wall in front of the house.
Okay.
If I were to go in, or let's say I was, you know, working with a client for this, I would see if the azaleas could be put elsewhere on the property, or if like perhaps they could be trimmed down, or if a sprig could go somewhere, or maybe perhaps even in finding out where she passed, maybe if the burial ground were open to receiving some azaleas. We have a lot of old burial grounds here that they're beautiful. They have like this old timey feel with these big trees, and we're really big into our azaleas here. We have a whole festival dedicated to azaleas.
Yep.
So I would see, you know, where can these things live on, even if they're not living here, and then properly communicate that so everybody's on board.
Better yet, I mean, it seems like you've had some sort of communication with her. Ask her. What would she prefer?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I mean, it seems to me that they can't stay where they are because it's going to ruin the house. It seems to me she loves the house as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
These things are going to damage the house. So what should we do, right? I mean, not like we're going to go completely, and she has to understand we're not going to go completely off your word because it's my house too. But, you know, we have to make a decision here that's going to work for both of us. So I understand you love those azaleas and all. We want to try to save them, but at the same time, we got to make some sort of economical decision here as well.
Right. Absolutely. And that's the thing. Spirits, so long as they can share time in our present, because sometimes they might see a little bit from the past, a little bit in the present, depending on how, once again, I can say present, but how sentient they are.
Yeah.
So asking them their advice, I have done that plenty of times before. And when I'm trying to seek compromise, once again, it's like with anybody in the physical, if you're mediating a conversation, you want to talk to both. You want to hear both. You want to do what you can to ensure that both parties hear each other. And then somewhere in the middle there, that's where the compromise lies. So I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah. It's funny, I go back to the situation here, and I don't mean to keep throwing myself in the conversation, but the ghost here, the way I figured out I had a spirit down here is things started flying off my walls. And I understood that it didn't like me, it thought it was infringing on its space. So I went, okay, I know what I'm up against, because I had had this happen in one other house. And I went, all right, I get it. And at first, if someone had things flying off their walls and landing, you know, a few feet off the wall and smashed face down, you'd think, poltergeist activity, I got to call a priest, right? That's not the first thing you think. Well, I'm thinking, okay, well, something's upset. So, you know, it may seem weird, but maybe you'd stand in the middle of the floor and go, okay, I got to talk to whatever's down here. And just say, you know, I understand you feel like you've been infringed upon, but you have to understand that I live here too.
Right. Right.
And I understand that at one point this was your space, and I understand that you want to live here, and you can live here. You know, we can both live here, and you want to enjoy the space. And I understand there's some things you may not like what I've done with, but I also understand that you want some things too. Do you like when I watch the Vikings? Do you like when I watch wrestling? Do you like the sports program? Because I found out he likes sports programming when one time I was sitting down here recording and that TV went on by itself and it went on to a sports talk program. In other words, he was like, I don't want to hear what you're doing in the other room. Turn on what you had on the other day. Right. And I want to hear that. And all of a sudden it went on its own. And I went, oh, okay, I got what you want. Well, you know what? You need to be patient and wait for me to turn that on, because he would listen to me turn on sports talk programming while I was working, while I was editing. So I'm like, all right, you know what? Be patient. I'll turn that on when I'm done doing my job, which is this, you know, and then we'll agree to disagree. And you know, but you got to be patient, old man, right? And then you'll get what you get. So it was, you know, it was that push and pull for a little bit, and then he was fine. He was like, okay, I get the routine. You have a routine. And but it seems like you had that push and pull with Gertie as well, where it was, you know, you had to get used to each other's routine before you got comfortable with each other.
Absolutely. And here's the thing too. I love that you're sharing this with me. The coolest thing about ghost stories, and I tell this to everybody, one, it's storytelling. Mm-hmm. We as humans, we've always loved storytelling. It is ingrained into how we work our societies. It's ingrained to how we listen to one another. And with ghost stories, once you've experienced something, you suddenly have a commonality with everybody else who has ever experienced something, big or small. You can sit there and listen and give them, you know, the kind of benefit of the doubt or the grain of truth, because you too have had that experience and you know what it feels like to be like, I don't know, am I kind of losing it here, or is there something to this? And how you talked about that, describing your own experience, working it back and saying, okay, is it a psychic thing to kind of put A plus B together and say, I think he's upset that I'm infringing on his space? And I talk about that too, where it's, is it psychic to have these inclinations, or is it just, once again, human nature, understanding that we communicate to each other however way we can. And if we can't hear somebody, if we can't see somebody, they will find ways to communicate with us. And it doesn't have to be like malicious. It doesn't have to be painful. It can simply be like, hey, you're not listening to me. Pop, you know, like pop that down, that kind of thing.
Yep.
It's very human behavior.
It is very. And that's the thing I think we forget, Rebecca, is that ghosts are humans, right?
Yeah.
They're just humans in a different form.
Right. Right.
And I think that if you remember that, you take the spookiness out of the phenomena.
Yep. Yep. And I think that's part of the reason why growing up and not understanding, and I had an off and on kind of relationship with my psychic abilities. I had a reawakening, and that's what I shared on the internet, which people really seem to like millions and millions of times. So that was cool. Mm-hmm. That being said, I always treated them as human. The only thing that really told me to be afraid was the media that I was ingesting, the sort of like, ah, we don't know about them. They could be wanting anything and they can touch you and they can do stuff to you. And yeah, they can. But most of the time, that's not the first thing that one would think about. Mm-hmm. I think about being in a human experience right now. I don't typically look at somebody and say, ooh, I'm going to touch them. No, granted, that's that's me being in my mental space. I know there are certainly mental spaces where people do think like that, but for the most part, no, I'm just gonna be like, oh, well, I really like this space. I'd like to sit here. Oh, they just sat on me. Okay, I'll move over here. Okay, and see what that's like. And it's very human. It's very down to earth. And if we can understand it and just put something to it and say, oh, hey, you have feelings. You have passions. You have interests. You have things that you care about. Suddenly, that's common ground. Suddenly, we can have a conversation to the best of our ability with one another.
I think it's when most humans sit in front of each other, it's much like 2 5-year-olds when they get together. It's you like cookies, I like cookies too, right? It's the finding a common ground, and then you begin to relate to one another, right? It's never like you said. It's the abnormal mind that says I want to touch you, right, or do something evil to you. It's the abnormal mind that thinks that way. The normal mind, I think, looks for commonalities and wants to relate to you. And they want to find something in common. They want to have a conversation, and they want to relate to you, and they want to find a bond. And then they want to move on, right? And then they want to say, I found a bond with this person. I had a good experience. Now I want to move on. As people, we want to find things that we have in common, so that we find a shared experience, and then we can find another person, have another shared experience, and know that we're of the same, what's a good way of putting it? That we're not alone, that we're not alone in this experience. We want to just know that we're not alone in this experience.
For those who are viewing, I live in a van part-time. This is my full-time office. And I went across the country last year. I came back to the East Coast. And I remember out in Nebraska, somebody asked me, they said, hey, you've been traveling around. You've been meeting people all over the place. You've been living out of gas stations and, you know, truck stops and that kind of thing. Like, what have you found out? And it's exactly what you just mentioned. It is we're more common than we think. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of the same things that we want. We want happiness. We want safety. We want connection. We want to feel heard. We want to feel like we can feel safely. Mm-hmm. And with spiritualism, the route that I take and the route that I encourage people to take is that curious route. The sort of, hey, I'm going to look inward first. I'm going to figure out the things that I want. And then I'm going to be open. I'm going to say, okay, well, these are the things that I want, in the understanding that not everybody wants those things, but we still all want it, like these overarching sorts of things, these sort of pursuit of happiness sorts of things, these safety things. Okay, how can I connect with another with those roots in place? And it's been successful, not just in spiritual practice, but certainly in meeting other people. When we're not being told what to think, which we're very much in a world right now, and it's not the first time we've been in this kind of world where we're being told what to think and that sort of thing. It's the headlines, it's the flashy, it's the hook in the, you know, 30-second video, you know, it's all this things to rile us up and not have enough information. When we actually settle down, we just say, hey, okay, this is what I want. This is what I'm happy with. I can, in settling with that within myself, I can say, okay, well, I know what I want. I know what I believe. And I don't feel challenged in a way to talk to other people. Well, I should say, when people challenge me, that's what I'll say. Okay. When people challenge me or they don't have the same beliefs or something like that, I can still hear them out. Yeah. I can still be like, all right, cool. And how does that affect your life? How does that affect your world? All that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I've found in meeting thousands of people through consultations, through talking to hundreds of thousands of folks, through comment sections and that kind of thing, in-person things, and also talking to ghosts, there's a lot more commonality there than I think people want to give credit for, because it's not flashy. It's calm. It's tranquil. It's right. Just being.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. We'll take our break here, Rebecca. When we come back, I want to talk to you about, you talk about more commonality than not, but I want to talk about when we get to that space where things feel threatening and how we do ground and shield and how we maybe when it does get threatening, how we keep things at a distance. I don't want to say out, because out is never, I think, a complete option, but grounded and shielded to a space where we feel safe. And then I want to talk to you about what we do if we don't feel like we have a psychic bone in our body and how we get to that spot. So we'll talk about that as well. And then a little bit about just investigating in general. We'll talk about that as well. But the book is a good one, folks, and I encourage you to get it. Whether you feel like you have a psychic bone in your body, or you feel like you do, and you're burgeoning, or maybe you're there. Maybe you feel like, you know what, I do have that psychic bone in my body, and maybe I want to develop it a little bit. The book is a good one, The Not So Scary Guide to Ghosts: How to Make the Paranormal Normal. Rebecca Carmichael is my guest, and we will talk more about ghosts in general, ghost hunting, and about this not so scary world in general with Rebecca Carmichael in just a bit. But first, I want to tell you about my sponsor. I told you about my guest. I'm going to tell you about my sponsor here, Jelly Bean and Julia's in Coon Rapids. Some of the best barbecue on the planet, some of the best people on the planet that are giving you that barbecue, and some of the best entertainment on the planet, all in one spot. Here are the specials this week at Jelly Bean and Julia. First of all, today, happy hour, 25% off all appetizers. That excludes the appetizer sampler. Half price off the single pour well drinks, Mick Golden Light, Coors Light taps, and half price off the domestic cans and bottles as well. Tomorrow, the smoked prime rib dinner, folks. One of the top five meals you will have in your life. That smoked prime rib is in that walk-in smoker for 12 to 14 hours before it is served to you. They start serving at 4:30 in the afternoon. My mouth is watering just thinking about it. I'm going to be there Friday night, by the way, to get that smoked prime rib. 14 and 16 ounce smoked prime rib. It comes with the tequila berries salad, that classic tequila berry salad you remember from when they were serving prime rib over there in Coon Rapids. That sweet and tangy dressing with the bacon bits and the croutons. And everything you remember about that classic salad is there. The Boston baked potato is served with it. The Texas toast, everything is there. Remember, they start serving at 4:30. It's there until it's gone. Don't wait until 7 or 8 o'clock at night thinking you're going to have a nice later dinner on Friday. It won't be there. Get there at 4:30 for that smoked prime rib dinner. Corey will have it waiting for you. Of course, on Sunday, you've got breakfast on Sundays only at Jelly Bean and Julia. You've got chicken and waffles. You've got the hash with the brisket in it. You've got much, much more there. Breakfast at Jelly Bean and Julia's is an experience. Of course, Saturday night, you've got entertainment over at Jelly Bean and Julia's as well. Jelly Bean and Julia's is on Coon Rapids Boulevard in Coon Rapids. It's an experience, folks. Go check it out. Jellybeanandjulias.com. We've got a link in the description of this program. All right, when we come back, we're back with Rebecca Carmichael, and we're talking about the not-so-scary world of ghosts right here on the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio.
Why is it always chaos when we link up?
Because nobody plans anything, bro. Good thing the rogue's ready like that.
For real. Rain, dirt, whatever. Available all-wheel drive, 5 modes, we still outside.
And they got some kick too. That turbo?
Torque is crazy. The most in its class. It moves.
Rogue doesn't mess around. And peep the space. Merch on merch, gear, mics, all of it fits.
Load up, we out.
2026 Nissan Rogue, built for all of it.
Auto Pacific segmentation, 2026 Rogue versus latest in-market competitors in the XSUV mainstream midsize class, excluding electrical vehicles based on manufacturer websites.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Bro, from the show last night to this drive, why is it never chill?
Because this is our life. Backstage, on the road, it's loud, messy, real.
And that's the best part. Whole crew, no plan, just moving.
Good thing Nissan builds for that kind of chaos.
Not just test tracks, real life scenes, late nights, road trips, all of it.
That's why it holds up. Nissan was ranked number one in initial quality among mainstream brands by JD Power.
Yeah, you can tell.
2026 Nissan Rogue, built for what really happens.
For JD Power 2025 US Initial Quality Study Award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year, newer models may be shown.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Why is it always chaos when we link up?
Because nobody plans anything, bro. Good thing the Rogue's ready like that.
For real. Rain, dirt, whatever. Available all-wheel drive, 5 modes, we still outside.
And they got some kick too. That turbo?
Torque is crazy. The most in its class. It moves.
Rogue doesn't mess around. And peep the space. Merch on merch, gear, mics, all of it fits.
Load up, we out.
2026 Nissan Rogue, built for all of it.
Auto Pacific segmentation, 2026 Rogue versus latest in-market competitors in the XSUV mainstream midsize class, excluding electrical vehicles based on manufacturer websites.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. My guest, Rebecca Carmichael. The book, The Not-So-Scary Guide to Ghosts, How to Make the Paranormal Normal. I think we established a little bit of it in the first part of the program, but we'll talk about it a little bit more here in the second. Rebecca, in the first part of the program, we kind of talked a little bit about how to take it down a notch and make ghosts not so scary. I think we can agree that, you know, they're humans. They're humans in a non-corporeal form, really. But there are some situations where we get into a situation where maybe we run into a non-corporeal form that is not treating us so well. And maybe we do need to put our guard or our dukes up a little bit. So I think we need to talk a little bit about grounding and shielding and what the normal person can do to kind of say, hey, you know what? You can't be in my space. You do point out there's a couple of different ways here to do that. And to those of us who, pardon me, to those of us who need to keep someone out or to push someone forcefully out of that space, there's a couple different ways you can point out that we can do this. What's the most easiest way? For someone who says, you know what, I'm not really a psychic person, don't feel like I have a psychic bone in my body, what's the easiest way for them to say, you know what, I don't want you in my space?
Practice saying the word no with other people.
Oh, okay.
If you can apply boundaries to the physical, you can apply boundaries to the spiritual. And that's the good and sometimes hard news. If we can say no to experiences that we don't want to do, if we can say no to people that we're not vibing with, if we can say the word no because it doesn't resonate with us, it's not something that we can do, that we don't want to do, that it's just not aligned, that's it. And that's the not flashy way of going about it, right? Because once again, from the media and these really exciting shows and all of this stuff, it's like, oh, you know, like pull out your sage and say the words in Latin and, you know, like all these sorts of things. And then, yeah, like you can do that. And I go over some ways on how you can cleanse ethically and through open practices and all sorts of things. At the core, though, it's whether you understand what's going on or not, it's saying what you mean and meaning what you say. And the biggest thing you can say is going to be no.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something I remember when I didn't understand what was going on, when I was in the bus stop house with Gertie. I once had an experience where I was sitting on my couch, and it was a very validating experience, though also pretty scary at the time. I had two cats and a dog at that point. They're all sitting on the couch with me. We're having a great time. We're just vibing. And I get the feeling that something's coming down the hallway. And it wasn't so much seeing it out of my eyes. It was more the understanding of it getting darker. And once again, I didn't consider myself psychic medium. I didn't consider myself any of this. So I'm getting this feeling of something coming down the hallway, something that I do not recognize. It's making just my hair stand up on my arms. And I'm just kind of crouching down a little bit. Now, I'm not doing too much. I'd like to think I wasn't signaling my pets to be on guard. But slowly, all three of them woke up. All three of them away. And as I got the sense something was entering the room, I also watched as their eyes, three sets of animal eyes, all watched the same thing go around the room. Now, I couldn't see it so much at the time. I was feeling it going around the room. And this whole thing is happening. All three of them are kind of on alert. I'm on alert. We're all just sensing this thing going around the room. And then it goes behind where I'm sitting on the couch, which just really freaked me out because I'm like, that's not necessary. We don't need to go behind me. That's not okay. And so without overthinking it, I just looked at it. I didn't know what I was looking at. I couldn't like suddenly see with my eyes and suddenly I was super clairvoyant. No, I looked behind me and I said, no, you're not doing that. That's not what we're doing here. And then the feeling just sort of dissipated. And the pets, wouldn't you know, they went back to sleep. Well, I think one left the room because they were just done with it. But they were just like the rest of them. They were just like, oh, she handled the situation. Great. Now we can go back to what we were doing. The strongest thing you can do for your shielding, for your protection, for your boundaries is going to be saying no. Say what you mean what you say.
That's interesting because, you know, it seems like, okay, in the narrative, and again, I put this in the narrative, it seems like it's either you call on the name of Christ and you're up against a big bad baddie, or you just deal with it and you're passive. There's no other way to do it. You're either going to be bullied or you bring out the big guns. There's no in between here, Rebecca. You mean you can just say no and it'll go away?
Well, that's the thing. We've been taught that. We've been taught, unfortunately, I think in some spiritual matters, but also societally speaking, a lot of us have been taught that we're powerless, which, how unfortunate. We are not. We have our words. We have the morals that we stand on. We have our efficacies. Like, there's so many things that we have that we can stand on that are just in us. Like, and this is my personal beliefs, but I truly believe that being incarnate here is such a privilege. And I won't say that all the time. Like, sometimes I'm paying my taxes and I'm like, oh, this doesn't feel like a privilege right now. However, the opportunity that we have to learn while we're here, to be in the place that we're in. Like, people ask me all the time, they're like, you know, what time period would you rather live in? I said, right now. Mm-hmm. There's so much going on. That doesn't say it's perfect. That doesn't say it's fixed. That doesn't say it's easy. But we're here and we get to experience that with one another. And then for me, it also means talking to ghosts. So once again, the self-empowerment here. And this also goes back to areas of mental health. And I do talk about this in the book where I am a spiritual health practitioner. I have very specific lines when it comes to what I can and cannot do because I am not trained in psychology. I do not have the license to be able to provide therapy to people. So I'll tell you, going to therapy was one of the most empowering, incredible things that I have ever done to invest in my life. Mm-hmm. And it's in doing that, it's the buildup of that, that finally allowed me to say no, which absolutely applies to ghosts. So yeah, we can call on higher figures. We can call on ancestors. We can call on past loved ones. Sometimes people are like, oh yeah, you know, my grandpa comes in and he really knows how to throw a punch. And I'm like, that's great for you. Though also with any larger figure like that, our guides, ancestors, past loved ones, et cetera, they also want us to learn how to protect ourselves because nobody's going to be around 24/7. Part of our experience here is to learn and grow and be empowered by that. And it's the same thing in spirituality. So yeah, you can pull out the smoke cleanse. And I go into different cleansing things in the book. I go into open practice smoke cleanses. I go into different herbs that you can use. I go into making brews and making different kinds of charged water. Like, I do get into those elements in the book. Though at the core, say what you mean what you say, stand in it.
What is the, okay, so break it down for me here for a quick second and for our audience. So what is the spiritual power of an element versus the spiritual power of a god? What chases a spirit away from an element versus the spiritual power of a god? What's the difference between the two?
So when you mention the spiritual power of an element, are you referring to the sort of, you know, like smoke cleanses?
Yep.
Or
smoke
water
cleanses, water,
physical elements.
Physical elements. Yep.
Okay. Really, with any physical elements that we use, they are part of the magic, if you want to refer to it as magic or what have you, the charge, if you will. Mm-hmm. Though they are not the magic. I'm also an open practice energetic practitioner, which means I don't rely on all the physical things around. Do I use them? Yeah, absolutely. They make me feel better. And I'm always like, hey, if you're doing something that doesn't hurt somebody else and it makes you feel better, do the thing. You want to say prayers? You want to recite Psalms? You want to say a poem by your favorite poet? Why not? It doesn't hurt anybody. For me, I always want to be able to do what I need to do regardless of what I have on hand. And so the way that I practice, the way that I have grown over time, is to not necessarily need something immediately. So I believe that everyone's power first comes from within. Okay. Within. And I encourage people, you know, figure out what that power means for you. Some people will find that in their religion, their belief systems, et cetera, et cetera. I'm just like, just know what it is for you. Start from you. And then all of these elements, these physical things that we can use, help to charge that up.
Okay.
We are the machine. The elements act as a recharge or a little battery or something like that.
Okay.
In regards to deities, or I would say higher figures, people who can kind of sweep in and help out. For one, that is something they can do. Though once again, my personal bias, and I talk about my bias, and I encourage people to understand their own bias a lot, and I talk about that in the book. For me, I am of the belief that the gods help those who help themselves. Mm-hmm. And when I say gods, I keep it really open. We're talking angels, we're talking demigods, higher figures, et cetera, et cetera. You know, like these bigger ones that also pack a punch, so to speak.
Right.
I trust that they can come in, that they can kind of sweep in and do different things. Mm-hmm. Though I also talk about density and frequency in the book. Some of these beings, I mean, if you're going to call on like something really high, like the conscious collective, the creator, the light, you know, what have you. Well, that's going to be at a really high frequency. Ghosts are not. It's going to be at a lower frequency. They might kind of miss each other. Yeah. Does that mean that the higher frequency is not powerful enough? No, it just means that, well, what's the point of us being the intermediaries if the, you know, collective consciousness always has to seep in to go down? No, we're the in-between there. So we work with in order to connect with the lower parts, in a sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah, completely. Completely. And it seems to me like, and again, I think this is the TV model. A lot of people look at the TV model and go, well, if something's lower and it's bothering me, I need to call in something higher to banish it. And we use the word banish a lot. But I don't think people understand what's happening there when they call in something higher to get rid of something lower. You're not getting rid of anything. It's not like it gets flushed down a toilet and it disappears.
Energy will always exist somewhere.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that the ghost will always exist. Sometimes the ghost may merge with like their past loved one version of themselves. They might move on to that. Though even in calling practitioners who are going in with a preset expectation of, oh, I'm going to move this on without even figuring out what it is, why they're there, et cetera, et cetera. That's how you just sort of scoot ghosts around. Like I've talked about this on my channel. I don't think I got so much into it in the book, but I've talked to ghosts who said, oh yeah, a spiritual practitioner booted me out of my house and I've been roaming ever since. And I'm just like, what effect does that do? And did the spiritual practitioner go in with the expectation of ghosts equal bad, must move on? It's important to understand our bias in this so that we can at least give them a chance. Not saying that we have to. Some people do ask, they're like, oh, what's this negative entity? Da, 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 da. I say, well, it's an overarching classification. I call them a-holes. And sometimes with an a-hole, there's not much you can do. Yeah. It's not that they're stuck in their feelings. It's not that they mean you well. It's not that they care so much. It's that there's something they need to figure out. And sometimes we're not the ones to help them figure that out. And if they're getting angry, if there's no compromise, if they're getting violent, because I've certainly seen that, if they're infringing in on somebody's mind where they feel like they get no peace and they don't even get to think for themselves. Like, these are very extreme cases that I have seen them.
Sure.
Okay, well, that's in the classification of an a-hole, censored, of course. And that's when we either call on something or we say, hey, we're gonna take you to the place where you can process and feel your feelings a little bit more, because that place isn't here anymore.
So what do you do with one of these a-holes that wants to stay in their house, but obviously they're not getting along with the person who's in it currently, the living person who's in it? If you tell them, you know what, if you want to stay in your house, then you're going to have to behave or else you are going to be wandering for the rest of eternity. How do you come up with a solution for that? What's the solution?
All right, I'll ask you this question first. How dark do you want to go on this question?
We can go dark as you want. I'm interested in what the solution is, because I mean, if I'm a spirit and I'm in the most treasured place I want to be, and I'm afraid of, because I'm thinking I'm afraid of judgment if I'm sitting in a house, right? Or some sort of, if I'm earthbound, I'll put it that way. Cause to me, I'd want to be in what I think is heaven. Right. But if I'm sitting in a house because I'm afraid of some sort of judgment or whatever, and I think the happiest place I want to be is my house. Okay.
Oh, I run into that a lot, actually. People who feel, due to what they experience in life, they want that kind of heaven space, but they may not feel like they deserve it. Mm-hmm. Now, and it's all the shame that we collect over life, which is why I'm such an advocate once again for mental health, because I'm just like, hey, if you can come to terms with your shame, it's nothing that's going to keep you here. You can choose to be here if you want, but you don't have to. Like, there's so much choice after we pass as well, though we have to get through the mental health aspects of it first. And I always say, even though it seems hard here, it's a lot easier here than doing it on the other side. That's my personal opinion, but that's what I've seen. Yeah. That being said.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say somebody is, because I have this conversation with spirits,
and let's say,
especially you see different time periods. Yeah.
Let's say they're butting heads with the person in the house they're in right now. And they're like, but it's my house and I don't think you belong. And I'm just going to keep railing on you till you leave. And you got to come into a house and say, you know what? Here's the thing. If you don't start getting along, I'm going to have to boot you from it. How do you either A, make them see the light, or B, tell them, you know what, I am going to have to boot you out and here's your future. You're going to be out there wandering. How do you tell them where is it that you're going to end up going, or where is it that they end up going?
Yeah. I don't let spirits just wander. That's not how I do my work. I like to know where people are going.
Okay.
I'm very specific about that. I'm like, we're not just going to be like, and you get to wander into somebody else's house and be somebody else's problem. That doesn't fix anything. So oftentimes, and it's hard to put a percentage on this, so I'll just say most of the time I can't compromise with somebody. Most of the time people want to be heard. They want that human element. But you're talking about the other times, right?
Yeah.
The times where I can't call to that human element of them. What I might do, I might call one of their spirit guides from when they were alive. Mm-hmm. Their spirit guide can act as an intermediary between that piece of them that's still a ghost and the rest of them that's already doing processing, wherever that is in the afterlife space. I may call to the one that's in the afterlife space and say, hey, you left this behind. Are you ready to process it? And sometimes I do merge that. I will kind of raise a frequency here and temporarily lower one here, and then move them so that it's kind of like looking at a memory for the past self. Here's the other thing, though. That's another kind of compromise. With ghosts, I'm trying to think of a situation where I've just been like, ah, you're not working. Most of the time, if it's particularly negative, they're not human to begin with, and they just have a different set of moralities. And okay, so okay. Those moralities may not fit our own. Those mm-hmm. moralities may be like, I'm going to make everybody angry because I eat anger. And that's when I'm like, okay, you can go into timeout. I have done this before where something was very inhuman. This was at the Railroad Museum. It was following people home, which we had an agreement not to follow people home. And then it started to follow people home. This thing looked disgusting. Like, it had backwards knees and a bunch of boils on its face and like all this stuff. Intentionally disgusting. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Evil entity, if you will. I don't like calling things evil, but like, this is what a lot of people would consider evil. So I created a barrier, and I was like, mm-mm. During open hours, you live in this closet. That is it. You create this energetic barrier. Some people will use tools to do things like that. And I said, during the open hours, you don't go out. And eventually there did become such an issue that I was being so extra that a few friends of mine, we found out its origin place that is not on this plane. And we called to the origin place and we said, hey, you're missing somebody. I think they got lost. We popped them back. Hasn't been a problem since. That was years ago. Yeah, we could. Oh my goodness. I'm trying to keep things kind of easy to understand, but there's a lot of stuff out there. Sometimes an entity, I've seen entities that hold on to ghosts as a kind of masking so that people think the ghost is the problem, but there's like a larger entity behind it that really just doesn't mean well. A lot of times these entities may feed off of emotions that are not so great. And they breed those emotions, and they might use the masking in order to get more of those emotions from people. And in those cases, once again, I kind of look at them and I'm like, hi, so I see you tried there. I see you sent the ghost my way. That's a ghost. I'm looking at you though. Okay. Can you go anywhere else? Is there anywhere else that you can figure out to go be happy? Sometimes it's a contractual thing. Sometimes people up here, practitioners up here, have called to these beings. They've paid for those beings to be there. But then the people move on and the beings stay. And then after that, I've renegotiated contracts before where I've been like, hi, so it would seem you live in a particular realm. It's not here. How about you go back? Seems like not much is happening anymore. Aren't you bored? Please leave. For the most part, there's a lot of reason in that. But once again, all this comes from a lot of different experiences that I've had, from treating everything very down to earth as I do, understanding more about my soul, where I come from, what I believe in, mm-hmm. and also making a lot of friends from a lot of pantheons on the other side that I can call them and be like, hey, you missing this guy? Because he's been here a little while. Yeah, you missing him? Yeah, I found him. You want to take him back to wherever he's supposed to be? A lot of these beings believe that they have a reason to be here. They're feeding, or their cause is righteous. They were contracted, etc. Sometimes it's with us involved. Sometimes it's just on their own. They wound up here. Most of the time, though, it's a compromise. But the difficult part can be the compromise, because even if you don't like something, even if it's making you feel gross, even if you know you kind of want to throw up a little bit because you're looking at them and you're like, like, there's still some sort of, okay, you have a home. That home doesn't have to be here. Who can I call to get you to go home?
Yeah.
It's just sort of shooting them. I hope I didn't go too far that question, but that's...
No, that's incredibly interesting. The thing that interests me is who would... If someone's making a contract with one of these things, what are they getting in return? Are they getting some sort of power? Are they getting an advancement in their life? Are they getting riches? Are they getting... What are they getting?
Well, I'll say for some, they may call higher beings because they have experienced great injustice at the hands of other humans.
Hmm.
And let's say you get kicked off your land. Let's say things have happened to you that against your consent, and you're really not able to leave a situation in particular. So sometimes people call the higher energies to make those folks uncomfortable. It's a protection thing.
Okay.
Yeah. But then there are certainly some situations, like that's the human element of it. That's the area where I do have more empathy towards, even though I don't agree the route that they took.
Yeah.
You also have the people who do want more power. You also have the people who are like, there's something in their head that says, ooh, I love it when people are so angry all the time that I thrive on anger. I don't understand it. But they, some of these emotions can call either consciously or subconsciously to a lot of out there things, which is, once again, I'm always going to point back to mental health and be like, know what you're doing. We are far more powerful than we give ourselves credit for. And when things go unchecked and we're not checking with ourselves, we can call to this stuff too. So better to know that it's a possibility rather than think it's not. Because if you consider it's a possibility on any scope of this, you consider, oh, maybe I am powerful. Maybe I do have more control than I think. Maybe I should feel like I'm in my own control rather than feeling like I'm everywhere all at once all the time.
That begs a question here. I don't know why this comes up, Rebecca, but it does. Can we subconsciously call out to something that can attach to us and not know it?
Yeah. The worst thing about malicious entity removals, I do not do many, although when it truly is an entity that doesn't mean well, oftentimes they latch onto an experience that we had that perhaps we don't want to get into. We're talking like high traumatic experiences, and they can compound over time. And that being latches on to the feeling of it because that being feeds on the feeling of it. And so then, and this is what I do when I'm working with somebody on malicious entity removals, I will say, hey, are you in therapy? Because I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this unless you have somebody to help you on the mental side of things. Because it's not just spiritual. We are very powerful creators, like everybody is. Mm-hmm. And we can create just as well. We can call to things that can latch on to those very heavy feelings. And until we have the resources to work with those, to accept those, to get past those, to move forward, those things can come back, or something similar can come back, or we can create something in its place. That's the not flashy part of all of this. People want to think, ah, yes, you know, Rebecca came in and saved the day and removed the thing, and now I don't have my trauma anymore. No, that's not how it works. I wish it was, because that would make it easier, right? That makes, you know, the sort of like, aha, your brain is fixed. But I always tell people, I'm like, if you're experiencing something, even spiritually, that is traumatic, that is painful, wouldn't you want to talk that out with somebody? Wouldn't you want to feel sane? Wouldn't you want to feel heard? And that's why I always go back to the, yeah, I can pull that off. I can see where it lives. I can, you know, be like, hey, go home, buddy. Even if I hate the buddy, just saying, yeah. Make it sound really friendly when I'm just like, wow, you're really messed up. I hate that. But it doesn't suddenly fix or heal the neural pathways that have taken years for us to create in our minds. And that's where, once again, the line between what I can provide as a spiritual practitioner and what a mental health professional can provide, because they help you create better routes for your brain to think. Whereas a spiritual practitioner, we just pop in and we're just like, oh, I see that there. Yes, you are not crazy. That's a pretty bad thing. Let's pop that off. But it's the mental health. That's how you keep it away.
Now, this may seem like a complicated question to you, but I've always wondered this myself. When a trauma feels like it won't heal, is that because potentially there's something attached to you?
Ooh, I feel like that's a sticky question that could probably get me into some trouble with certain people. just in regards to like the mental health side of things.
Right. I mean, now keep in mind that is a double-edged sword, but I ask that for this reason. It could be that you're stuck in trauma, and keep that in mind. I will throw that question at you with that caveat, that it could be that someone is just stuck in trauma and that they do need But I'll throw it at you with this. If it is someone who is in treatment, if it's someone who's in therapy, and it doesn't seem like therapy is getting them over that hump, and they're stuck in that trauma over and over and over again, and they can't get over that hump, even though they're seeking therapy or counseling, or they're doing everything they can to get treated for that trauma, and they can't seem to get out of that cycle. Do you believe at that point that there could be some sort of attachment to that person?
I would say that it's not only the attachment, but I think the attachment may be so ingrained that it's causing a cycle. Because I think about all these different kinds of treatments that we have now, like EMDR, and you can go somewhere and like go away from your typical day-to-day life. There are many options out there. I mean, I even think, I don't know what it's called, but it's a kind of program where the therapist is trained in specific psychedelics, and mm-hmm. people who have serious, do you know what that's called? I don't remember.
Yeah. You're talking about like for treatment of PTSD, where they're using psychedelics. Yeah. Yeah. And that's been pretty successful. Right.
And here's the thing. Those people that talk about their experiences when they're on the psychedelics, or they're in a deep hypnosis, or they're doing EMDR, mm-hmm. sometimes they see a manifestation and they may not consider it spiritual. And I always tell people, I'm like, if the spirit freaks you out, pursue the mental health part of it. You know, I'm not going to sit here and be like, you have to acknowledge that it's a real thing. No,
right.
Real is sometimes what it comes down to individually. Though you talk to people who get into these deep spaces, and they'll see their trauma turn into some kind of being. And that's where I go, huh, maybe there's something spiritual to that. But they handle it on their own through a kind of mental protection of acknowledging and letting go.
Yeah.
So once again, that's where it comes down to. Like, to your question, yes, it could be something spiritual. That being said, even though I love talking about this stuff, and I wrote a book about it, and I'll continue to talk about it, I always come down to the power of one's mind and how powerful each and every one of us is. And that can work for us or against us. So with that understanding, why not have it work for you if you know how to go about that? And then the spirituality stuff, like, I'll be real, I had, goodness, back in college, I had something that I would consider a not great entity. Here's the thing. It was attached to my depression. Like, I could see the guy in my mind's eye. Like, I once again, I didn't consider myself psychic. It's why I have such a passion for educating people on how everybody has these inclinations, just understanding one's individual language. And he really messed with me. Like, I heard him say things in my mind. He really attacked my confidence. At the time, I had developed an eating disorder. Like, there was a lot of stuff going on. But here's the thing. I didn't go to a spiritual practitioner to figure that out. And at the time, I didn't realize that he was attached to my depression. I had to change a few things in my life. A lot of things sometimes to come to terms with that. Mm-hmm. And then as I began to make better choices for myself, that's when I was also able to tell the voice in my mind that was not my mind, that was outside of my mind, that was also here. It was like a whole, it's trippy when you don't understand these things. But that's when I also started telling them to shut up.
Ah.
Because I was like, no, like, I'm not taking that anymore. Like, I deserve to eat. I deserve to be happy. I deserve to have quiet. I deserve to have time off. Like, I had to take that on as a kind of protection for myself, my mind, and it turned into a spiritual protection as a result.
Right.
It's not flashy, but I think a lot more people can relate to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. You're right. And you're right. Sometimes it's not flashy. Sometimes it's downright, what's a good word for it? I don't have a word for it, but you're right. It's just out there.
I'll say it's frustrating.
Yeah. That's a good way of putting
it. Once again, we want somebody to come in and like fix our problems, right? We want the whole thing. I'm just like, this is how it is, and this is how you fix, and pluck, now your problems are gone. I wish, but no. That would take away from our human experience. We're here to learn. We're here to experience. We're here to try. We're here to fail. We're here to try again. And then we're here to also just be at the same time.
Right. A lot of the school of life is just trudging through the muck and the mire until you get to the other side.
We're doing our best.
That's right. Boy, this hour went quick, Rebecca. I'll tell you that. The book is a good one, folks, and I encourage you to go get it. The Not So Scary Guide to Ghosts, How to Make the Paranormal Normal. Rebecca Carmichael has been my guest. I tell you what, we have to do this again, my friend, because there's a lot more to the book and there's a lot more to your experiences. But we gave people just a taste today so that they could go get
it. I'd be happy to just talk about your everyday kind of ghost stories too. I feel like we went on a journey today, but
it
all comes down to those little stories too. And I'd love to share that with you again.
Yeah. We could just talk next time. We could just talk ghost stories. We'll just get together and talk ghost stories. That's for sure. But folks, I encourage you to go get the book because the book is a lot more inclusive of a lot more topics than just what we talked today. As a matter of fact, I've got it cracked open here on my device. Everything from psychic tools and debates there to communicating with confidence with ghosts to discovering your psychic senses to there's ghost stories in there with Gertie to investigating your own beliefs about ghosts to spiritual vibrations. Actually, one of the wonderful things you talk about is quickly, if I can, about frequency and vibration. And you talked a little bit about it here in our conversation about frequency of ghosts and how things vibrate, which I found was fascinating because we don't have a lot of discussion about that in the paranormal. We don't talk about how things vibrate a lot. And you give a very detailed description on frequency and I found it really fascinating, Rebecca. It was really good. So again, I point people to the book so that they can read up on it and get the complete description of everything, because Rebecca really does a great job of laying things out here and getting everything in this book and doing a complete job of putting everything out there. Again, the book is called The Not-So-Scary Guide to Ghosts, How to Make the Paranormal Normal. It is available in bookstores nationwide on July 28th. So it'll be available on July 28th. You can pre-order right now that book. I had to check my notes to make sure when this is available. It's available July 28th. So it's available then. I just got the privilege of reading it early. So nanny nanny boo boo to all of you. I don't want to flaunt it over people, Rebecca, but I did get a chance to read it early. But yes, please pre-order and get it in your queues. And we'll have a link to it so that you can do so. Rebecca, I want to thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure talking with you. You had some excellent questions.
Oh, well, thank you. And again, the pleasure is all mine. So thank you so much for being with us today. Folks, I want to remind you, we're upon the weekend here. A couple things before we leave you today. First, I want to thank our executive producer today, Troy Palmer. Thank you for everything you do. Second, support the show. Go to darknessradioshow.com to the store section. There's True Crime Tuesday swag there, brand new True Crime Tuesday swag. There's brand new Darkness Radio swag as well. T-shirts, hoodies, hats, rocks glasses, believe it or not, if you need a cocktail at the end of the weekend. Also, the Darkness Radio Apple app is updated and available. Be sure it's downloaded and updated for you. And finally, we're upon the weekend. It's great summer weather out there, even though we're technically in spring, but we're coming up on summer here in just a few days. I know you're busy with things like kids that are in sports. You're busy with great weather, probably up at the cabin every other weekend if you've got one, and you're into your own lives and you're fully into summer activities. But I want to remind you that you've got your elderly, you've got your disabled, you've got your disabled vets, people that are maybe sitting on the sidelines a little bit. that need help with house cleaning. They need help with yard work. They actually want to get out and enjoy some of these activities with you. Just be a light in someone's darkness this weekend. Take one of those people in your community with you. Maybe take them up to the cabin with you. Maybe take them to a ball game with you, one of your kids' ball games. Or go help with that yard work or go help with that shopping. Just please be a light in someone's darkness this weekend. A message from your friends here at Darkness Radio. For Mally Fox, for Jessica Freeberg, for Beer City Bruiser, for Travis Thorpe, I'm Tim Dennis. Thank you so much for continuing to watch and listen to the best in paranormal podcasting. We'll see you next week. This is Darkness Radio.
Why is it always chaos when we link up?
Because nobody plans anything, bro. Good thing the Rogue's ready like that.
For real. Rain, dirt, whatever. Available all-wheel drive, 5 modes, we still outside.
And they got some kick too. That turbo?
Torque is crazy. The most in its class. It moves.
Rogue doesn't mess around. And peep the space. Merch on merch, gear, mics, all of it fits.
Load up, we out.
2026 Nissan Rogue, built for all of it.
Auto Pacific segmentation, 2026 Rogue versus latest in-market competitors in the XSUV mainstream midsize class, excluding electrical vehicles based on manufacturer websites.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Bro, from the show last night to this drive, why is it never chill?
Because this is our life. Backstage, on the road, it's loud, messy, real.
And that's the best part. Whole crew, no plan, just moving.
Good thing Nissan builds for that kind of chaos.
Not just test tracks, real life scenes, late nights, road trips, all of it.
That's why it holds up. Nissan was ranked number one in initial quality among mainstream brands by JD Power.
Yeah, you can tell.
2026 Nissan Rogue, built for what really happens.
For JD Power 2025 US Initial Quality Study Award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year, newer models may be shown.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Bro, from the show last night to this drive, why is it never chill?
Because this is our life. Backstage, on the road, it's loud, messy, real.
And that's the best part. Whole crew, no plan, just moving.
Good thing Nissan builds for that kind of chaos.
Not just test tracks, real life scenes, late nights, road trips, all of it.
That's why it holds up. Nissan was ranked number one in initial quality among mainstream brands by JD Power.
Yeah, you can tell.
2026 Nissan Rogue, built for what really happens.
For JD Power 2025 US Initial Quality Study Award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year, newer models may be shown.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Why is it always chaos when we link up?
Because nobody plans anything, bro. Good thing the Rogue's ready like that.
For real. Rain, dirt, whatever. Available all-wheel drive, 5 modes, we still outside.
And they got some kick too. That turbo?
Torque is crazy. The most in its class. It moves.
Rogue doesn't mess around. And peep the space. Merch on merch, gear, mics, all of it fits.
Load up, we out.
2026 Nissan Rogue, built for all of it.
Auto Pacific segmentation, 2026 Rogue versus latest in-market competitors in the XSUV mainstream midsize class, excluding electrical vehicles based on manufacturer websites.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games that's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Why is it always chaos when we link up?
Because nobody plans anything, bro. Good thing the Rogue's ready like that.
For real. Rain, dirt, whatever. Available all-wheel drive, 5 modes, we still outside.
And they got some kick too. That turbo?
Torque is crazy. The most in its class. It moves.
Rogue doesn't mess around. And peep the space. Merch on merch, gear, mics, all of it fits.
Load up, we out.
2026 Nissan Rogue, built for all of it.
Auto Pacific segmentation, 2026 Rogue versus latest in-market competitors in the XSUV mainstream midsize class, excluding electrical vehicles based on manufacturer websites.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Why is it always chaos when we link up?
Because nobody plans anything, bro. Good thing the Rogue's ready like that.
For real. Rain, dirt, whatever. Available all-wheel drive, 5 modes, we still outside.
And they got some kick too. That turbo?
Torque is crazy. The most in its class. It moves.
Rogue doesn't mess around. And peep the space. Merch on merch, gear, mics, all of it fits.
Load up, we out.
2026 Nissan Rogue, built for all of it.
Auto Pacific segmentation, 2026 Rogue versus latest in-market competitors in the XSUV mainstream midsize class, excluding electrical vehicles based on manufacturer websites.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Why is it always chaos when we link up?
Because nobody plans anything, bro. Good thing the Rogue's ready like that.
For real. Rain, dirt, whatever. Available all-wheel drive, 5 modes, we still outside.
And they got some kick too. That turbo?
Torque is crazy. The most in its class. It moves.
Rogue doesn't mess around. And peep the space. Merch on merch, gear, mics, all of it fits.
Load up, we out.
2026 Nissan Rogue, built for all of it.
Auto Pacific segmentation, 2026 Rogue versus latest in-market competitors in the XSUV mainstream midsize class, excluding electrical vehicles based on manufacturer websites.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Why is it always chaos when we link up?
Because nobody plans anything, bro. Good thing the Rogue's ready like that.
For real. Rain, dirt, whatever. Available all-wheel drive, 5 modes, we still outside.
And they got some kick too. That turbo?
Torque is crazy. The most in its class. It moves.
Rogue doesn't mess around. And peep the space. Merch on merch, gear, mics, all of it fits.
Load up, we out.
2026 Nissan Rogue, built for all of it.
Auto Pacific segmentation, 2026 Rogue versus latest in-market competitors in the XSUV mainstream midsize class, excluding electrical vehicles based on manufacturer websites.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Why is it always chaos when we link up?
Because nobody plans anything, bro. Good thing the Rogue's ready like that.
For real. Rain, dirt, whatever. Available all-wheel drive, 5 modes, we still outside.
And they got some kick too. That turbo?
Torque is crazy. The most in its class. It moves.
Rogue doesn't mess around. And peep the space. Merch on merch, gear, mics, all of it fits.
Load up, we out.
2026 Nissan Rogue, built for all of it.
Auto Pacific segmentation, 2026 Rogue versus latest in-market competitors in the XSUV mainstream midsize class, excluding electrical vehicles based on manufacturer websites.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Bro, from the show last night to this drive, why is it never chill?
Because this is our life. Backstage, on the road, it's loud, messy, real.
And that's the best part. Whole crew, no plan, just moving.
Good thing Nissan builds for that kind of chaos.
Not just test tracks, real life scenes, late nights, road trips, all of it.
That's why it holds up. Nissan was ranked number one in initial quality among mainstream brands by JD Power.
Yeah, you can tell.
2026 Nissan Rogue, built for what really happens.
For JD Power 2025 U.S. Initial Quality Study Award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year, newer models may be shown.
What's up, Us? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Bro, from the show last night to this drive, why is it never chill?
Because this is our life. Backstage, on the road, it's loud, messy, real.
And that's the best part. Whole crew, no plan, just moving.
Good thing Nissan builds for that kind of chaos.
Not just test tracks, real life scenes, late nights, road trips, all of it.
That's why it holds up. Nissan was ranked number one in initial quality among mainstream brands by JD Power.
Yeah, you can tell.
2026 Nissan Rogue, built for what really happens.
For JD Power 2025 U.S. Initial Quality Study Award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year, newer models may be shown.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Why is it always chaos when we link up?
Because nobody plans anything, bro. Good thing the Rogue's ready like that.
For real. Rain, dirt, whatever. Available all-wheel drive, 5 modes, we still outside.
And they got some kick too. That turbo?
Torque is crazy. The most in its class. It moves.
Rogue doesn't mess around. And peep the space. Merch on merch, gear, mics, all of it fits.
Load up, we out.
2026 Nissan Rogue, built for all of it.
Auto Pacific segmentation, 2026 Rogue versus latest in-market competitors in the X SUV mainstream midsize class, excluding electrical vehicles, based on manufacturer websites.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Bro, from the show last night to this drive, why is it never chill?
Because this is our life. Backstage, on the road, it's loud, messy, real.
And that's the best part. Whole crew, no plan, just moving.
Good thing Nissan builds for that kind of chaos.
Not just test tracks, real life scenes, late nights, road trips, all of it.
That's why it holds up. Nissan was ranked number one in initial quality among mainstream brands by JD Power.
Yeah, you can tell.
2026 Nissan Rogue, built for what really happens.
For JD Power 2025 U.S. Initial Quality Study Award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year, newer models may be shown.
It's called soccer.
It's called football.
Soccer.
Football.
Domino's best deal ever lets you get any pizza, including stuffed crust, with any toppings for $9.99.
Okay, we can agree on that.
Yeah, fully.
So, pineapple? Don't ruin it. Get any pizza, including stuffed crust, with any toppings for $9.99. Finally, something everyone can get behind.
And if the refs disagree, that's between them and Domino's. Which means the only thing left to fight over is who's ordering.
Domino's.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6:15 to 7:26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings. 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.